We do have a few prayer requests this morning. Gage, a young man from Hennessy, fell out of a pickup and has severe head trauma. Pray for him and his mom, Barbara Calder. And then pray for the family of Justin. How do you say this last name?
Benavides.
Passed in a motorcycle accident Saturday. And then pray for the family of Jim LaFarlette. He passed away June 1st. Do you want them to do them one page at a time, or do you want them all at once?
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
You want to hand them, I guess.
And then let's pray for prayers for Billy Shockley. One of the bolts broke through her bone. She is having to go back for a full hip replacement today.
Oof.
Yeah.
A bolt? That
a
was
bolt.
Already in there?
Yeah. She had it done, but one of the bolts broke. Ow. And then prayers for my sister's father-in-law, Robert Guilford Sr. He's back in the hospital with pneumonia. Yesterday, he was non-responsive. Today, he's kind of responsive. Okay. Yes. And then I'm going to write this one on here. I'm going to ask for prayers for my friend Michael. That just came. Okay. And the prayer for Michael is to come to believe, surrender.
Okay.
The word surrender just came to mind, so a prayer for Michael to surrender okay. to the Lord.
Well, if I mess up some of these names, just know that the Lord knows.
Yeah,
he knows exactly some of all these names. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I am so grateful that we have such a good God that we can come to you at any moment's notice to lift up our concerns and our cares and our hurts and our pains to you. Father, I pray for this young man. I pray for Gage. God, who unfortunately fell out of a pickup and has severe head trauma from it. God, we just pray that you would just keep your hands on him, that God, you would heal him. God, you would allow whatever trauma, whatever pain is going on, God, you would help that subside. You would help that be pushed back. And God, that if there's whatever trauma that's going to happen, God, we pray that it's not a long-term effect. God, we pray that he would be able to bounce back from this and be just like he was before. And then, Father, but even if there's some lasting effects, God, I pray that somehow you, in your ultimate plan, that God, he would use this for your glory. God, we would take our accidents and our unfortunate moments and not allow that to prevent us to hold us back or to trip up or to allow it to keep us defeated. Father, we know that you can still use this as a moment for glory for you. And so, God, we just pray for him that you would just continue to heal him, you would restore him, God, and just to let any of the pain subside. God, we pray for his mom, Barbara, as I know she's going to be right there beside him, tending to him, taking care of him. God, you'd pray you would just give her the strength to just, as a good mom would do, of just staying beside her children and tending to them. And making sure all the needs are met and taken care of. So, God, we just thank you for her and just pray that you would bless her and her efforts to just continue to tend for her to her child. So we just pray for Gage as he heals in this time. Lord, we pray for Justin Benavida. And, God, we just pray for the family of him that is unfortunate to hear about the passing of him from a motorcycle accident. God, it's tragic to have life one day and then never know when they'll be gone in the next. God, that's why it is so important that we know you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that he knew you. I pray he had a personal relationship with you so we have a peace of mind knowing where he is at today. Father, I pray for his family that God, through this time, as they're going to be grieving, and I know they're hurting. I know their hearts are broken for this life. Father, I pray that just in Scripture says that you are very present in a time of need. God, that you draw near the brokenhearted. God, you bind up their wounds. And God, that you are an active God in our brokenness, that you're not distant, You were very present. God, I just pray you would just continue to make your presence known amongst this family by giving them peace beyond that they can't understand why they feel so at peace, that they are comforted even through tragedy and heartbreak, that God, it's because it's evident that your hand is on them, that God, you are healing their hearts, that you are carrying them through this tough time, the tough weeks and months ahead of just knowing that he is not here right now. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anybody in this family that may not know you as Lord, God, that through this tender time, God, you would just heal them. You would bring them close to you. God, they would see that even through heartache, God, you are still faithful to heal and be near us. So, Father, I pray through this time that it would also be a moment of not only restoring their hearts, and carrying them through this tough time, but God, you would also be drawing them near to you so that put their faith and trust in you for forgiveness of sin. So, Father, we pray for this sweet family as they just go through this tough time. And God, we pray for Jim's family as well, who passed away on June 1st. So, God, we pray the same thing, that God, you would just be the ultimate comforter, that God, we would not have to turn to other things and try to rely on other things to get us through or to numb the pain or anything like that. God, I pray that you are just the one that we constantly turn to, knowing that in your word that you are a comforter, you are the Prince of Peace. God, you are the one that will sustain us and keep us. You have not brought us this far to leave us now. You are always the constant help. And we just rely on you through this time. We just pray as they heal from this, that you would just continue to remind them that you are there with them, that you will not abandon them or forsake them. Just continue to bring healing over their hearts as they process this. And Lord, we pray for Billy Shockley right now. God, it's what a unfortunate situation, a scary thing to hear about the bolts that are breaking through her bone. God, as she's going to go to surgery today and may already be there or may have already had it for having a full hip replacement today. I pray, God, for their surgeons. I pray for the doctors, the nurses, all the medical staff that's going to be placed around her. God, you had put her around the best that are going to be attentive and do the very best that they can. I pray for the hands of the surgeons that are going to work on her. God, you would give them the wisdom of how to operate. You would give them steady hands to operate and be the best that they can be today for her. That, Father, this would be a great healing time. That, Father, as she rests, and I know it's going to be painful, Father, I pray you would help the pain be minimal. I pray that she would be able to bounce back from this, and God, that it would hold and it would be no complications. Father, we pray that as you would deliver her through this surgery, that, Father, you would just be there for her and just remind her of your presence. And God, we pray that she knows you as well. We pray for Robert. We pray, God, that as he is back in the hospital with pneumonia. God, we know sometimes pneumonia can turn in a quick way. God, I hate to hear that he was unconscious yesterday and today maybe he's kind of bouncing back a little bit. Father, I pray for his lungs that God, you would just fully heal them. God, you would get rid of the pneumonia and just completely eradicate it from his body. Father, that he would make a full recovery and would bounce back. Father, I pray that he would just trust you in this time, that, Father, there are people around him that would also pray with him and encourage him and just be there for him. I pray that you would just be with his body, physically recovering it and helping him to feel stronger every day and to come back into consciousness. Father, I pray for Monica's friend, Michael. Father, I pray for his faith. God, I pray that he would have all the head knowledge of understanding Jesus and who God is, put his faith in him, and take all of that head knowledge and turning it into heart knowledge, because he wants to fully surrender his life to you. We pray that you would just continue to open his eyes and his hearts to the spiritual things of this world, to his spiritual eternal destination of God, with what's going to happen if I don't know Jesus as Lord. And God, knowing that your heart for him is not that destination, it is to be with you for all eternity. And that by putting our faith alone in Jesus is what will redeem us back to you. And so, Father, I pray for salvation for Michael, that he would put his faith and trust in you, and that you would surround him with a good body of believers who would continue to walk with him, grow him, and disciple him in this faith. So, Lord, we love you. We're thankful for all that you do and for all these families who tuned in so that we may have the honor to pray for their loved ones. So, Father, we just pray for them, and we know that you know more than what we do. So you know exactly what they need, how they need it, and when. So we are thankful for you. We love you. We pray and ask all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I have a praise report for Kaylin Lovell, my bonus daughter, Angel's mom. So she had court, as I said before, she had court, and the attorney stood up. She did the evaluation for their drug court stuff. And her attorney stood up in court and said she didn't qualify for it. So she asked if she could redo the evaluation and have someone else do it. And then the DA, the district attorney, the one that's paid to prosecute her, stood up in court and told her and her attorney, if you do a hair follicle test and pass, we will work a deal with you. She did the hair follicle. She passed. Mm. It got sent to her attorney. She contacted her. They made contact. Kaylin and her attorney made contact. And her attorney said that the DA said that he would offer her all parole. No drug court.
Oh, wow.
No prison time. Parole.
Wow.
And then she asked him about the guardianship being resolved. And he said that he would help her with that. For a fee, of course.
Yeah.
But it's not like a crazy fee. Like, usually I think it's like a $3,000 fee. He's willing to do it for $1,000 and allow her to make payments.
Oh, yeah.
So that that can get done.
Wow. Praise God.
So, go God. Wow. Go God. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. I'm trying not to break down and cry, y'all.
It's all good.
It's been 5 years, you know, and to hear Angel pray for his mama to be made well and to come to God. And then to have a front row seat.
Yeah.
Is just, I'm in awe of God and what he's able to do for his people. She tasted. And now she's seeing that God is real and that God is for her. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Jace Morrow, and his topic, his title is Jesus, period. Before you get started again, would you like to share a little bit of info about your church, your service times, and et cetera?
Nah.
No?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm the youth pastor. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, man.
We still have humor around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You startled me a bit.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Maybe something happened. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm the youth pastor over at First Baptist Church Cheyenne in Cheyenne, Oklahoma, of course. And so for our Sunday mornings, we always do every Sunday we have a breakfast. We have a smorgasbord of all kind of breakfast items and stuff. So we do that every single Sunday from 9 to about 9:50. We would love for anybody, if you don't have a home church there somewhere you're regularly attending, come by to First Baptist Cheyenne, 608 East Broadway, Avenue Broadway and stuff. And so please come by and check us out. 9 to 9:45, free breakfast. Don't do nothing other than just show up with an appetite, ready to go. Sunday school, we offer all the way from nursery all the way up to our elderly, our senior adults class. We have them all for all ages. Sunday school, 9:50 to about 10:45, and then morning worship, 10:50 to noon. And so we, for youth, if you're a teen, for whatever, and you have teens, you don't have them doing anything on Wednesdays, we do Wednesday night youth every single Wednesday from 5:30 to 7. So come hang out with us. We'll teach God's word, play volleyball, hang out, have fellowship with one another. So we'd be honored to have you as our guest. There you go. Okay. You want me to pick up where I left off?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're going through Jesus, period. Talked about Jesus first, that we've got to all respond to the gospel and to know Jesus more than just head knowledge, but heart knowledge of understanding who God is and coming to know this truth that God wants us to be saved. And after we've put our faith in Jesus and gone from head knowledge to heart knowledge, we know Jesus only, that as believers, we must learn the gospel. We understand that we have to have a mediator, a go-between, and that was Jesus, because there is a gap between us because of our sinfulness and a holy and righteous God. Jesus was the mediator, the go-between, to pay the ransom that was our sin debt. He had to pay that with his own blood so that the effects of sin may be undone. So when we put our faith and trust in him, we are reunited with God because our mediator, Jesus, went between, paid the ransom to set us free from the penalty of our sin. And we need people to know about the forgiveness and how to reunite with God. And so as believers, we must learn the gospel. So now we, Jesus first, Jesus only, and Jesus now. Now, as believers, after we've learned the gospel, great, we learned it, but now what do we do with it? We must speak the gospel. Continuing on with the 1 Timothy passage 3-7, we now looking at the verse that says this, "For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I am the telling the truth. I am not lying." And so yet again, another word that we may be unfamiliar with is he said, "I was appointed a herald." What's a herald? No, I'm not talking about a 75-year-old man. Herald is an official messenger who brings specific news to a specific audience. A herald is a messenger who brings a specific message to a specific audience. For me, when I go up, I'm involved with Cheyenne Public Schools. I go up and do FCA. I help with esports. I'm up there for just different things, right? I love the school. But oftentimes, I'll hear our principal over the loudspeakers, over the PA, and they'll make an announcement. Eighth graders, for instead of going to seventh hour of this class, I need you to be, we're going here for your seventh hour period, right? Mm. That was a specific message to a specific audience, to the seventh graders. Or eighth graders, whatever grade I said, right? Or if it was just an overall announcement to the entire student body, don't forget this tonight is the fundraiser for blah, 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 right? That was a specific message for a specific audience. Not like these TikTokers that have their own wacky theology about God that is more than often wrong and incorrect. YouTubers that, right, their fame, whatever. I'm not talking about them, the TikTokers, the vloggers, or anything, YouTubers, or anything like that, that just want to give their opinion about a topic, right? We're not talking about opinions, but a specific messenger. And Paul points that out, that, hey, I have been appointed messenger, an apostle. He states this, that him and Timothy, because Timothy is with him and Timothy had been, or not him and Timothy, yes, him and Timothy had been chosen. They've been appointed by God. They have been chosen to deliver this specific message to a specific crowd. So they are not going around sacrificing their own comfort and risking their life for a message that they don't believe in, that they're just giving their opinion about. But no, rather he's saying they are doing this because it is their job and their responsibility to God as followers of Jesus to share this message of truth. This they are appointed as heralds, as a messenger with this specific message of salvation. And it's their responsibility to God. And here's the thing. This isn't just a Paul and Timothy thing. This is anybody who is a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have a word for that, Christians. Christians are heralds too. Christians are also messengers with a specific news to a specific audience. We are messengers of the gospel, and we must speak the gospel. God makes all of his followers, all his believers, what the scripture would call ministers of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And so that big word, that reconciliation, it's our responsibility to make sure people know the gospel and show them how to cross that gap to be reunited to God. That is what it means for us to have the ministry. We have been reconciled to God. We have been restored back to him through putting our faith in Jesus, who is our go-between. We put our faith in Jesus, who paid the ransom for prisoners of our sin. We have been reunited, reconciled back to God. And since we've been restored back to God, we don't go, okay, good to go. Hey, enjoy your life. But no, he says he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, which means this, we have a role, a responsibility to share that message with others so that they may know the gospel and that they may have the opportunity to be reunited with God. But they don't know how to do that if we are not faithful in speaking it. We must share it. We can't help people reconcile back to God without speaking the gospel. I know we love that idea of, hey, I'm going to live the gospel, but I won't speak it, right? I'm just going to live it out. That's good. We should. Our faith and our obedience to God should be shown in our actions and the way we live, speak, think, and act. But we also are called to literally speak it, right? We have that Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Well, we share our testimony. Without the gospel, it's just spiritual bragging. We need to share our testimony about how we know the Lord, how we came to know the Lord. But if we share our testimony without giving the gospel, it's just spiritual bragging. Of like, man, God's been so good to me, and this and that, and this and that, and oh, and this and that. Okay, great. But what is, like, how did you get to that point? Oh, yeah, let me share you Jesus, I guess. All right, we kind of make it about us. If you can share your testimony without ever sharing the gospel, it's just spiritual bragging. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So we've got to learn the scripture. We've got to learn the gospel. So here it is. Let's get busy. Like, let's do that. The days are evil, and the days are limited. People need to know God, and they need to be told. Mm-hmm. We can't expect them to know about God. Hey, just come to my church. Maybe they're uncomfortable with coming to church because church people haven't been very kind to them. Right. And so they're burned by the church. I get that. The church is made up of a lot of broken people that God is constantly still working on. So some people may never step foot in your church, but sometimes the only Bible that a person will ever read is your life. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be obedient to not only live out our faith, yes and amen, but we've also got to be responsible in our job of being heralds of this specific message to a specific crowd and speak it as well. We've got to learn the gospel, not just know it, but learn it and speak it. And so Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one if they have not believed in? How can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them?" I like to walk that verse backwards. We just read it forwards. I'm going to read it backwards. See, if someone will preach to them, they can hear it. Once they've heard it, they can believe in that one. They can believe in that one. Actually, sorry, I lost my thought. So someone will be sent to preach it, and when someone preaches it, people can hear it. And once they hear it, they can then believe in it. And then they can put their faith and trust in it. So it's kind of walking it forward and backwards. So someone can't hear it if someone doesn't go, and someone doesn't hear it. Well, here's the thing. We've been called to go. We've been commissioned and told to go. And so we've got to be responsible with speaking the gospel. So we've got Jesus first, Jesus only, Jesus now. And then the last one, Jesus always. And so not only do we have to respond and to the gospel and know Jesus, not only do we have to, as believers, we must learn the gospel. Not only do we speak the gospel, but Jesus always, as believers, we must live the gospel. And so the last part of that 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 7, there at the end of verse 7, as believers, we must live the gospel and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And so Gentiles, that's just the easy way of saying people who aren't Jewish. Right. And so this is a specific message to specific people. And so it's teacher to the Gentiles in faith and truth. And so it's people who aren't Jewish. And God wanted Paul to teach the Gentiles, not wanting anyone to perish. Right. Not just for the Jewish people. He wanted all people who even are outside of the original covenant of God, not just the Jewish people, but all people. Because here's the thing. God knew the Jewish people couldn't upkeep the old covenant. Right. God made a covenant with his people, the Israelites, in the Old Testament that, hey, you've got to do all this. You have to follow this. If you live this way, you'll be blessed. Hey, if you live opposite of that, you know, there will be punishment. Right. We could not upkeep the old covenant. Right. Just look at the Ten Commandments. Right. We can never live up to that. We couldn't ever do that, which is why he sent Jesus, because we are incapable of ever living up to the standards of God, but only God himself, which is why Jesus, God's one and only son, came to fulfill the old covenant and be the new covenant by shedding his blood, by being our ransom payer, our mediator, so that when we put our faith and trust in him, he is the new covenant. And so, teachers of the faith, we should follow Paul's example and teach what the Bible says. As what Paul says, he says he is a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Well, as Paul's setting this example, we as followers of Jesus, as believers, we must teach the Bible what it says. But what do we teach and how do we teach it, right? So we must teach the gospel. We must teach who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, what God has done and why, what God expects in our response and all the things, right? We must teach that. We must learn that and then teach it. And so, great, that's the what we those are a lot, just a few things of what we should teach. But now, how do we teach those things? I have a couple of things and then we'll be done. But how do we teach it? Well, we should know how to study the Bible ourselves. And then we should teach others how to do that, right? Mm-hmm. That's discipleship. That's what we're called to do, not only evangelize and lead someone to the Lord and say, hey, good luck, high five, I'm proud of you, good luck with the rest of it, get plugged in somewhere, and then they never do. Mm-hmm. We should follow up with them. We should teach others to do the same. There's that saying, right, if you give someone a fish, you feed them for the day, but if you teach them the fish, you feed them for a lifetime. It's that same thing. Lead them to the Lord, that's great. But if we don't follow up with them and disciple them, they'll go starving. And if no one's going to disciple them and teach them, right? Think about if your walk with the Lord, if you've ever had no one come beside you and teach you, you would probably have walked away from the faith or maybe never grown, right? And so we must live what we teach, right? Don't just tell the truth, but show them. Model the faith, model your faith, because what faith is belief in action. So model your faith that you claim. Act on what you believe. If we believe God is full of grace, and grace being treating people better than they deserve, then we should too. If that's what we say, that we believe that God is, and we as God's people, then we should be full of grace too. Mm-hmm. If we say that we believe God forgives, which God's forgiveness means canceling the debt that people owe for sin. Mm-hmm. If we truly believe that God forgives, then we shouldn't hold people's mistakes against them either. Right. If we say that God loves everyone, then we should also love everyone. Right? We're not affirming or saying, hey, I support what you do. I am behind what you believe. But rather, instead of allowing the differences to be the reason why we hate somebody, but mm-hmm. rather we love everybody because God loves them. And so we want to love them too. So we must, if we must teach that, we must model our faith. If we believe that God are all of these things, and then we as his followers are not these things, we should model our faith, because faith is belief in action. Mm-hmm. And so we must believe that thing. And then understanding this, you're going to fail. Knowing that as a follower of Jesus, as a teacher of these things, don't worry about having it all together and knowing, hey, I'm not perfect. That's okay. God knew that. You're going to fail at time, and it's okay. When it happens, when you fail, making a sin, or you sin, right? We sin every day. It happens. Here's what I want you to do about it. I want you to agree with God about it, repent it, accept his forgiveness, and get back on going, mm-hmm. right? When you repent, that means you are agreeing with God, hey, I've done wrong against you. I agree with you on that. I have sinned against you. I am so sorry for that. Will you please forgive me? You're repenting. You're acknowledging it. You're agreeing with God, and you're turning away from it. I agree with you, God. I repent. Please forgive me. And then you accept that forgiveness, and then you get back on going, right? Mm-hmm. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to acknowledge your sinfulness, repent of it, turn back, get back on the horse, and keep riding on. Allow him to keep working on you. You're not going to be an immediately change overnight. It's a walk with the Lord, not a sprint. It's a daily grind of growing and allowing God to make you less like the world and more like his son. That's the sanctification process, being more like Christ. And you can't do that if you don't ever seek him out. So just know, going in, you're going to fail, and it's okay. But I want you to repent of anything that you have, accept his forgiveness, and get back going. That's why we have 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all of your unrighteousness, right? Next one. Don't let the enemy make you feel like a failure and convince you to quit. We have a lot of Christians right now that are just walking away from the faith. They're deconstructing it or whatever, and just walking away from their faith, right? Don't let the enemy fool you and convince you that you're a failure because of that. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important that when you sin, immediately address it with God, repent of it immediately, accept his forgiveness, and get back on going with the Lord. Because if you don't, Satan is going to do everything he can to trip you up, to convince you you're a failure, a mess mm-hmm. up, you're a screw up, and then move it. And then he's going to remind you of your past and all the things. But whenever he reminds you of the past, you just remind him of his future, that he is actually the failure. He's the loser. He's the one that has no victory in the end. And so, because Satan's going to look for a foothold, mm-hmm. right? I think I've said this on this before, right? We door hold, like right when the door is about to shut, you just slip a toe in really quick to catch it. That's a foothold. And the stronghold is behind enemy lines, the enemy that's behind their enemy's lines, and they have a strong fortress or a stronghold of where they're going to fight from inside enemy lines, right? And that's all Satan needs. Satan just needs a little bit of a foothold, mm-hmm. a crack in your life of where you're just showing a little bit of weakness, and you keep growing in that weakness. He's eventually going to make a stronghold in that mm-hmm. area. And so don't allow him to convince you that you're a failure and can get you to quit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So keep believing. Keep moving, keep learning, keep growing. Don't stop. Don't allow him to convince you to quit. Next one, you're going to face opposition. Just know that the message of Jesus is not popular. It got him killed.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to face opposition. People don't like it. Mm-hmm. People don't like the message of Jesus because that makes them confront with their humanity and their sinfulness. So people don't want to hear it. So just go, no, going into this faith with Jesus, you're going to face opposition. You're going to have pushback. People may argue and ask questions and debate. And here's what I want to tell you. When you're faced with opposition, when people are going to argue with you, ask questions and debate to try to prove you wrong, right? It'll happen, and it doesn't matter. It'll happen. They're going to argue. But when it does, I want you to be careful. Because those arguments and those debates can often be more harmful, even if you win, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody really wins in those conversations. I've never had a conversation where I've argued my faith and like it got into a yelling match. And then at the end of it, they go, hey, you know what? You're right. I think I'll believe in Jesus. Rather, it pushes them farther away from the things of God when mm-hmm. we try to do that. So just be careful. There's nothing wrong with them asking questions and you giving the truth, not your opinion, the mm-hmm. truth of Scripture. Because oftentimes what they're going to want to do is, there is people in this world that when they find out you're Christian, they just want to argue for the sake of arguing, mm-hmm. and they will dig their heels in, and they'll hold to their beliefs. Mm-hmm. They don't care what you have to say. They just want to say what they believe and try to say that you're wrong. And so some people just want to argue for the sake of arguing. So don't fall for that trap. You can hear them out and go, wow, okay, interesting. You're not confirming it. You're not a believer. You're not saying I agree, right? Because mm-hmm. sometimes it's easier to just know the truth. The way you know truth is by spending time in the truth of God's word. It's easier to just know the truth, say it, tell them what the Bible says, and then just show respect. Mm-hmm. It's easy to go, okay, wow, that's an interesting tape. Can I share with you what Scripture says? Not with what I believe, but hey, can I share with you what the Scripture says? Here's what the Scripture says, and here's why I believe it, why I know it to be true. There you go. And then just show the respect. You don't have to get ugly with it, right? And then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Mm-hmm. Do your due diligence of honoring God, speaking His truth, not your opinion, and then letting the Holy Spirit take it from there. And here's the thing. If they start asking a lot of questions that you don't know an answer to, be honest about that. Mm-hmm. Don't be a false teacher and come up with things that you think sound good. If you don't know the answer, say you don't. Don't make it up and be a false teacher. Seriously, I tell our youth all the time, because we have a generation that believes in a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm. Tell them, our teens, are like, man, share the gospel. And when if they start asking a question that you just flat out don't know the answer to, so you know what? I'm still growing in my faith. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I know plenty of people in my church, like my pastor or youth pastor, that can seek out that answer. Let's look that up together, and and I'll get back with you on a question. Just be honest. People will respect the honesty rather than you just being a liar, mm-hmm. right? So just be honest with that. Next one, do what you can to learn the Bible, but focus more on living it out. Do what you can to learn the Bible, but focus more on living what you believe. Because a lived faith is the ultimate apologetic. Mm-hmm. They're going to argue. They can argue with you. They can discredit Scripture. They can try to do all the things to make you trip up and to make you doubt and all this thing. But here's the thing. When you live out your faith and it is evident in your life, that is the ultimate apologetic, because they can try to argue Scripture. And even though it's wrong, they can't argue with your life. There's no argument against it. Live out your faith. That's why I said earlier, if you believe all these things about God, live it out. Mm-hmm. Be those things as well. We're called to be like Christ. So living out your faith is the ultimate apologetic, because there's no argument against it. In this age of fakers, we need people to be real and authentic Christians. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fake people that believe that are just social media Christians. Mm-hmm. They'll have the Philippians 4:13 and all the other quick Bible quotes up in their bio of their Instagram or their Facebook or anything like that. And then their faith or their life is a complete opposite mm-hmm. of that. You're doing more harm to it than anything. We need real, authentic Christians to boldly learn the Bible, proclaim it, and live it. Just live it. Be faithful to live what you believe, and hold tight to your faith. We have a time where it's really a back and forth thing. Hold tight to your faith. Last scripture I'm going to read, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. By this gospel, you are saved. And if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. So I say all of this to go back to how I began. One thing matters. One thing lasts. One thing will truly change the culture. There's one answer. There's one difference. There's one provision. And there's one way. Jesus is all. Jesus is the statement. Jesus is enough. Mm-hmm. We need Jesus first, but we must all respond to the gospel and know Jesus. We must know Jesus only, because as believers, we must learn the gospel. We need Jesus now, because as believers, we must speak the gospel. And lastly, Jesus always, because as believers, we must live the gospel. Jesus, period. Mm-hmm. So that's how I will end it for us today.
Amen, amen.